In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. What? Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. A rough start to the thing today. And with me is my mustachioed, flame on, fiery co-host. He's got more wrinkles now. He's a little older, but he's with me as always.
If I was an animal, I'd be a dog because I would then get to say it's slobbering time. Travis Ratz here.
So bad. Is there an issue of the Fantastic Four where the Thing turns into a dog and says slobbering time? Because if there isn't, Travis Ratz, you've written a great joke.
Who's our Russell? Who's the writer?
Mark Russell?
Mark Russell. That's a Mark Russell.
That's a Mark Russellism right there. I think the book we're reading today, Ryan North, could have maybe pulled it off. I think there could be one where they all turn into animals, and that would be wonderful. On this episode, folks, Travis and I are diving deep into graphic novels and trades. Like always, you're on a Comic Book Club episode. Travis and I are reading Fantastic Four, Whatever Happened to the Fantastic Four, written by Ryan North. This is volume one of Ryan North's new run. Started, I think, at the end of 22. I think we're still in it right now. But Ryan North writing it. We've got two different artists on this one. Eben Soello and Ivan Fiorelli. We've got some color by Jesus Burtov. We've got Alex Ross doing magnificent, holy crap, gorgeous covers on this thing. And we're getting a story of the Fantastic Four on the road, my friend.
Whatever happened to Mr. Fancy, Thing and Sue Storm, and then there's Johnny. Woo!
That's good. We're getting a little bit of a road trip, a little bit of a getting the band back together on this 6-issue run of Fantastic Four. Travis, this is your and my first. We talked about this on the last episode. If you didn't listen to it, we talked about it in the last episode where we kind of talked about Fantastic Four, our history with it, the new movie that's come out, the casting on that. Instead of spending a lot of time on that, this is our first Fantastic Four book for the show. We've read Silver Surfer before.
Yes.
Silver Surfer Black, I believe. Yep. A weird Silver Surfer book for us to read. But we did read Silver Surfer Black. Not a lot of Fantastic Four in my history, not a lot of Fantastic Four in your history as a reader. This is probably the most Fantastic Four continuous story I've read. 6 issues in a row.
Yeah.
It's probably the longest amount of Fantastic Four I've ever read. Piecemeal a lot. You said the same thing. So let's get into it, dude. What were you expecting when you picked this up? What were your thoughts? What were your hopes for us reading Fantastic Four? What did you want to get out of a Fantastic Four book?
Well, I tell you what, I didn't do any research into North, like what his vision was for this, what reviews were for this run or anything like that. But what I was hoping to find is a sense of what is the recipe for the Fantastic Four. Because we could have come back in if we wanted that. We could have just read like a huge omnibus volume of Fantastic Four, first 2 years, 3 years. But who's got time for that, Josh? And I think I tried, we talked about the whole history of the Fantastic Four book we tried to read. So yeah. I was like, let's get the past. Let's just catch up with these guys right now. Let's see what the recipe is for these characters. Who is the Thing? What's the Thing's dynamic with Sue Storm? Who's Sue Storm? What's her relationship with her brother? And what's her relationship with her husband? Who are these people? And does anything resonate with my perception of them from when I've seen them pop into other books or remember from childhood or other mediums?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think I was in the same space where I think that's why reading something new was the best option, right? Because this is a you know, 1962, Fantastic Four comes out.
Hey, that's a that, Josh. That is the exact year it came
right?
out.
1962 original Fantastic Four comes out. That is a
no.
Long,
it's actually 1961.
61. Ah, so close. 1962 Spider-Man. 61. 61 Fantastic Four comes out. Long ago. That's a lot of history. Really, Travis. You know what? I don't need to read a book from 1961. I don't need to.
We've done it before.
We've done it. Modern. I wanted to know what's the modern thing. And Ryan North is a science fiction writer. He wrote this book called How to Invent Everything. It is written as a guidebook that you're a time traveler, and your time travel device gets stuck in the past. And it's a guidebook of how to invent everything you need to rebuild civilization.
That's fantastic.
It is a...
like a zombie survival guide, kind of Brooks
yes.
style. Yeah.
Right. But holy the science God. Is...
I'm writing this down because the next time I teach science fiction, we're going to be...
Science is incredibly accurate. He literally dives so deep into like, so you want to start farming. Like, so when have you landed? Did you land before the agrarian age? Here's what you'll need to know, right?
It's like, so funny you say that because that stuff is in this book. Like that right. kind of thing is in this book.
So it feels... I think as a science fiction guy, this was right up his alley to do this team and to do it in such a pulpy science fiction way, Travis, because that's what we get through this book. And if I'm going to just play my hand, the enjoyment of having what essentially is five one-off stories over six issues, genius. Just giving me like, oh, here's a little science fiction adventure. Here's a little science fiction adventure. Here's a little, and like just having it be wham, bam, in, out, good.
Yeah.
He's
using
the pacing
science.
Was great.
We're doing improv and drama. And one of the things that the hardest thing for them to do is once they have their problem, how do we raise the stakes? Right.
Right.
And he's using science to build the stakes in here.
Yes.
Where
yes,
it's like, okay, oh, there's a bacteria that came from a different dimension. The same way it would if it's like an invasive bacteria, it's a different biome, right?
Right.
And it's like, well, it's here. How can the Fantastic Four's already scientific powers
right.
combine them together, like a la Captain Planet style, and fix the problem?
And I think when we talk about serialization of comic books, that's what we get here is we get a serialized
science problem
sort
of the week.
Science problem of the week. And to me, that's what comics do so well.
Yeah.
Agreed. Isn't written for the trade, although we read it in a trade. It doesn't feel written for the trade like so many other books right now. Like when we read a Batman and we're like, okay, yep, those six issues, we told a beginning and a middle and an end in those six issues or
hours,
five issues.
Yeah.
We got it, right? This feels like, nah, man, we're just telling a story and we have to put six issues together. These six issues are going. There's no end to this, right? Aside from like, oh, they're all back together now.
Which
That's
is a lot more work for the writer because they have to introduce a problem, develop it, and solve it within a certain number of pages. They have to do that month after month.
But we do that in TV all the time. When you think of like television
they
writing,
have like
you think
about writers' rooms. They have multiple writers and they split that work up. You know,
yeah,
it's impressive that what he does.
It is impressive. I don't want to take away from that, but it feels very much like he must have just a wall of like sticky notes with ideas on it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you nailed it right off the top of the bat. Science problem of the week. I think he has a bunch of different science problems. Like, and then like just like if you just imagine it, like science problems on the board, and then you pull a sticky note, and you're like, okay, how can I build the Fantastic Four into this?
Right.
Like you read a newspaper, you look at current problems in the world today, you put those scientific problems on the thing, and you're like, okay, well, if superheroes were alive, and how would this problem be introduced in the Fantastic Four world? How would they solve it using their powers?
Well, we did Superman Summer last summer, I listened to a book about Superman, the history of Superman, like incredibly detailed, talking about early Superman was all sci-fi, and it was sci-fi problem of the week. Every issue or every month, sci-fi problem of the month, every issue ended up being like a death ray is here, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is more smart science fiction than that, right? This is a little more detailed than that. But really,
But
is it?
Yeah, not all of it. For example, in the second issue, which is the Johnny Storm issue, yeah. It starts off.
I think that's the third issue.
Oh yeah, because the Thing Johnny one Storm. Went too. Okay, so Johnny Storm is like, you know, he can do fire and heat up stuff. So how does he stop a tornado? Well, he heats up. My science is wrong, probably, but basically he heats up the cold upper atmosphere that mixes with the warm, humid atmosphere to stop the elements that create a tornado from happening.
And at the same time, he's taking down like a greedy corporate like boss, right? This very sort of like goofy thing, but he does it. North writes it in such a good way. So let's kind of.
I said Captain Planet jokingly earlier, but now that I'm thinking about it,
it's very Captain Planet.
It's very Captain Planet.
It's very Captain Planet. So we've got essentially how the issues flow. What happens is, and we don't know. We find this out in the fourth issue.
Yeah, which I thought. So what Josh is talking about is the story opens up, and the Fantastic Four is all separated because of a tragic, devastating event in New York. And all we see is a crater in New York. And I, who just jumped into this book, thought like, oh, did this happen in the Marvel Universe that I'm not keeping up with? Like where the Fantastic Four did this, then now Ryan North gets the reins during the, you know, aftermath of it. But I don't think it was, correct, Josh? Because it comes back later in the book, and they tell you what caused the crater in the Baxter Building.
What caused the crater? And so I'm curious, like, I think this is the thing when you get to like leave continuity a little bit or tell your story in the future, or like it's not the future, but it's like 3 years in the future, right? So we're going to get back to that moment at some point, but this is what's been happening. You know, I find that that's really interesting. And I think so. This is set up in a way that you're right, Travis. They've been separated, they're in different places, they've left New York, they can't be there. There are people who are pretty upset with them, right? And you've got Ben and his wife.
Can I fill that point in on what the event is? Or are you building to that? What?
No, you can.
Them?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, that's an issue. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
basically they're being attacked. The Baxter Building is being attacked, and everyone's in there. And the only way that they can save it, Reed has to think very quickly. And gosh, now I'm like,
he transports the building into the future.
One year
into the future, and it will reappear
with all the people safe and sound.
Safe and sound in the future. They will, their time will not have changed,
including their children.
But everybody, yes. But and Reed and Sue's
and
kids
like
are in there.
Two blocks of New York,
right? And everybody will come back in 2 years, or will come back in a year. And it had to be a year because of the rotation of the Earth, the way it went, and all this
the
stuff.
Science
just
you mentioned,
super science nerdy, fantastic.
So it's kind of a way of doing the blip. But in comics.
Right. But in comics. And Reed Richards gets to be very sort of like cold about it. Like it was the only way it would work. Otherwise, they all would have died.
And it happens so fast. Like in old comics, this would have been an event, right? And
right.
It would have led up to this. And it would have been like the stakes would have been really established. And like there would have been three issues. Like this is the only way, you know, like Doctor Strange would have held up one finger and said one in 20 million.
Right.
You know? But no, it happens in like six pages, or maybe it's like more of a majority of an issue. And you're like, whoa, what happened? Like, did I miss?
But instead of that being the event we lead up to, that's the trigger for the entire set of stories, which I think is a much more interesting way to jump in as a writer. To say like, no, I want to give them a reason why we're doing this, but I don't want to spend my writing. I don't want to spend six issues.
Yeah.
Telling about how this thing happened. I want to jump in medias res and get there.
I want to do a we're getting the band back together story from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't want to have to tell you why we broke up the band. I don't want to spend six issues explaining this. This is fast paced. And this book is very fast paced.
Oh,
everything
yeah.
happens in every issue. So that first issue is Ben and his wife. They go to this town. I want to talk about the issues, and then I want you to tell me which one was your favorite one, right? Mm. So first issue is Ben and his wife. They go to this town that's reliving the day over and over and over again. how do they get out of it, right? Like, that's story one. Story two is Sue and Reed stuck in the town full of Doombots. And there's a, all the Doombots are protecting this woman.
They've been programmed to it, and they're protecting a woman who was really kind to Dr. Doom before he became Dr. Doom. And
wonderful
so
concept.
To help her out, he has created, he sent Doombots to make her life happy, but we could spoil it now on the sense of like, but she ultimately dies and the Doombots are unable to escape their programming to make her happy. And it leads to some really crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The third one is Johnny Storm with a new identity, working a workaday job and trying to be a superhero at the same time. We mentioned that one. The next issue is they're on the road and they end up fighting. No, is the next issue the one with the weird rock in it? I'm trying to remember.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. The next issue is kind of like we're figuring out. Issue four is like, how did all of this happen, right? How did we get the big hole in the earth with the Baxter Building? How do we kind of solve this problem? At the same time, we're flashing back to that as we're telling the story of like this giant rock formation that looks like the thing. And then we get this sort of road trip thing. They're on the road. They're back together. And they fight this group from outer space. This biome sludgy thing gets left behind. And the last episode is them. Like, how do we get rid of this sludge that's kind of taken over this small town? Right? So we get like, bam, 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 bam. Science fiction. Like, we're hit with all of these different stories back to back to back to back. Travis, which one was your favorite and why?
Well, you asked me this question at the beginning. I'm like, oh, I got to think about that. And then I forgot to think about it. I would say story-wise is number one, The Thing and his wife.
Okay, that's a good one.
Because it is very Groundhog Day. It honestly probably is the least science-y of them. And we've been talking about how we love the science parts of
it. It feels a little X-File-y.
Yeah,
right?
It's more like time travel would really work. You know, type of thing. Like Looper or something like that.
Yeah.
Like X-Files, yeah. And I like that one just because of the ending and the humanity of it, about how the villain in it isn't a villain. It's just someone who's got their heart broken.
Right.
And that to me was like, oh my God, like the stakes are so high, and like, this is, you know, like they're trapped there forever if they can't figure this out, and they don't have to clobber someone. They have to help someone's heart heal. And I was like, oh,
it's, and the fact that it's the thing, this man made of stone, right? And his blind wife, who get to like solve this very like heart soft thing.
Couple of the year at these two.
It's great.
It's just really, they're in a really great place in the relationship at that point.
Yeah. My favorite issue is the second issue with the Doombots. I think for a very similar reason, you get the dynamic between Reed and Sue as they're in this town. And then just the silliness of a city full of Doombots is wonderful.
It's very creative.
Because
too,
over time, everybody is a Doombot in this town. It didn't start that way.
It's not creative and cool because a city full of Doombots. I feel like they could have told that story in the 70s, but the reason is...
Right. And then just like the fact that you get kind of this... We haven't seen Dr. Doom yet in this run. We get talked about him, but he starts with humanity. He starts with this idea of like, look, this lady was nice. He wanted to take care of her. He programmed Doombots. And then that program goes beyond what it was supposed to be, right?
And I love that issue too, because I think I talked about Reed being very, I want him to be very cold and calculating and kind of neurodivergent in this new Fantastic Four movie. And there's that sense of, yes, he looks at everything, he calculates everything very quickly, but here you get to see him. He's not like, let's figure out a way to destroy all these Doombots. He goes, it ends with him allowing the Doombots to live, but just reprogramming them in some way.
And just kind of a really it was, I love the sort of like, here's our problem. Here's how we're going to solve it. Here's some heart. Yeah. And then you get the one with Johnny, and Johnny's the same thing. Here's your problem. Here's your solution with some heart. It is, there's a lot of heart.
Yeah, it's the Modern Family of comics.
It was really
At the end of every episode, you're like, oh God, this is right? a comedy.
No, this is like, oh, this is good. But Ryan North does a fantastic job with this team, and we don't get to see them together till the end, but then when we get them together, you do get that bickering, but you also get that love that they have for each other. That thing that you want is this family dynamic of like this love each other but push each other's buttons and help each other kind of thing. I really enjoyed it.
That would probably be the thing that I was hoping in a Fantastic Four book, what I was expecting to get more. It was a little bit more of like the family kind of like pulling at each other. But this book, Ryan North writes this as a very wholesome book. There's no sense of like Namor's not coming in there and you're not like cuckolding anyone, you know?
Yeah.
There's no like drug abuse. Even Johnny is kind of a little less edgy than some versions of Johnny.
Right. He's a little more like goofball douche. I don't know how else to put it, right?
Yeah, yeah. But he is being true to him. I would say maybe the thing might be the most different than maybe older versions of the thing because he's in a happy place in his life. And normally the thing, when he's not with his girlfriend, now his wife, he's usually like, you know, remorseful and bitter about his look and stuff like that. But we're meeting him at a pretty good place. Now his biggest concern is his kids, which I'm guessing are his adopted kids. I don't know about Fantastic Four to understand how they got a hold of the alien kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one looks like Kree. One looks like a Skrull.
Yeah. So I would agree with you on that, but I think what we got is we got the band back together, mm-hmm. right? I'm curious. I really did enjoy this. And for me, this goes like, is this a run that I'll read? Is this a run that I'm interested in sticking around with and reading the next volume at some point this year? And just going like, I'll read it this week, right? And just picking it up and reading it as a like, let's see where this goes. Because now that you got them back together, I'm curious. I've read... So here's my experience with North before this. I was listening to a podcast, iFanboy podcast I listen to. They do weekly comic stuff. So I don't have to read all the weekly books. I let them tell me what's good, mm-hmm. right? They said they were talking about this, and one of the books they were talking about was an issue later than this. And they're like, if you just want to read one great sci-fi Fantastic Four story, read this one. And I was like, okay, so I picked up the single issue and I was like, okay, that's it. I'm going to tell Travis that we need to read, I will start from the beginning and we need to read this. Just one-off issue, that Ryan North did, just a sci-fi, all of them together. I was like, okay, this is it. This is good stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I think for me, this is a run where I go like, okay, this seems like a fun run that I could read.
Yeah.
I don't need to read
super,
it.
Super educational.
I don't need to read it weekly, right? I can read it in trades. I can trade hop. I can wait. I don't need it.
Dude,
you know?
I now know what creates tornadoes. And I'm going to remember it because I'm like, well, how did the Human Torch stop it? Well, he heated up the upper atmosphere, which is cold air, mixed with warm, humid air from... I want to like teach with Fantastic Four. Humanities class. Forget hip hop. Forget film. Yeah. We're doing
Fantastic Four. But I really enjoyed it. Let's talk a little bit about art.
That is maybe the thing that's holding it back. Not because it's bad, but because it's house.
Yeah, I would agree with you. That's the one thing where I'm like, well, I don't love the art.
Because it's not bad. It's not good.
No,
it's just standard.
It's just standard art. And that seems like what you would do on a Fantastic Four book. You're either going to go very house or you're going to go very weird.
It's the most apparent. The thing design is the oddest with the big brow.
The forehead. Ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he has a big brow anyways, but there's the first artist, I think, out of the two,
And the big his character design would work if all the rest of the characters were kind of stripped down like he is. But yeah, you get it. It's the current Marvel house style.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of difference between the artists. I think the coloring is what kind of does it for is what kind of takes me out the most. It's that very digital look. There's a and we everything is kind of gradient, right? Like it's not they're not flat colors. There's the shading isn't like flat shading. So it that's the one thing that I think gets me. But the story is so good that I'm like, okay, we're cool. I can get past it. It's not bad. It's
no,
good.
It just feels like everything we else we talked about feels like a very indie take, like a fresh take on Fantastic Four, where it's like, hey, you know, we're going to do this stuff. So it feels like it should get a fresh take on the art as well.
Yeah, you know? I would agree with you. Yeah, and I think that's the one thing where it kind of doesn't live up. But I think if you're going to have, I mean, if I'm going to read a book that's house style, it's probably going to be Fantastic Four, right? Yeah. And like I said, I like the art so much. And I think also this lets you, I would tell you that you could have a million different artists because these are so house, I don't even care.
Yeah.
Right. I think for me, if it were like a very indie artist, when the artist changes for the last two books, I probably would have been like, oh, I'm so mad that there's a different artist.
Right. And but there's a chance that the run might not go as long because the team just can't stay together as much.
But because it's a house style, whatever, I'm kind of like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care who the artist is as much. Right. Ryan North is doing such a good job writing this thing. Can we talk about the amount of times Reed Richards' powers get real gross in here?
Yeah.
Where his eyeball comes into something.
You know, I was thinking about this. I go, as someone like Sue Storm, you're attracted to this guy, and like you've seen him in all kinds of weird. It's gotta be a turnoff at some point, right? Like how can you get an image of him out of your head?
Might come in handy sometimes.
Yes, but I guess that it has its benefits as well.
But like he uses just his eyeball comes and squeaks up really close to something. So
several times. And every time he would use a new power, like in a weird way, because I don't know the Fantastic Four well, I'm like, is this the first time he's done that? Is this the first time he's used his eye as a microscope that way? Is this the first time he's had multiple arms come out of him in different directions? Yeah.
And then there's one part where he like turns his hand into like a strange cube to talk about the dimension, and then he flips it inside out and say like, we're in the inside out dimension, right? And I was like, well, that's gross. Right? But like even that the science of like this dimension is inside out, we just have to flip it, we're in the wrong one.
Or he changes, like Johnny can now absorb heat so he can cool things off.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's such an interesting sort of like the science writing is really good, and
Johnny's Hulk Hogan mustache.
It's fantastic. As someone with a sweet Hulk Hogan mustache yourself, almost right now.
Yeah, I know. We're getting. I gotta grow those ends out.
Yeah, but even
science, Josh. Even the dye of his hair. He's like,
yeah.
He's what was his name? Johnny Fairweather. Something Fairweather. John Fairweather. Something like that. And he's like, oh, but he dyes his hair, but because every time he turns into flame, it burns off the chemicals. So he has to re-dye it every time. Just like even the small stuff that isn't involved in the saving of the day is science-based.
And is just silly, right?
I want to, and I think probably Mallrats Kevin Smith would love to see, and maybe he does in other episodes, a little bit more of the science behind the thing. You know, like what the limitations are. What would it be his abilities? Is his dork made of orange rock as well?
Jonathan Fairweather. So stupid, but so wonderful. And I love how like the entire time he's like, man, I don't know how Spider-Man has this dual identity thing. It sucks.
Right? He thinks he's doing such a good job of hiding like his identity, and all his coworkers are like, yeah, dude, we knew.
You know.
Like the amount of times you bring up John the Human Torch, he goes, well, I thought everyone did that.
But I had a ton of fun. It was great. Ryan North writes the hell out of this book.
The Alex Ross covers are awesome,
they're
too.
So you good, mentioned man. That. Alex Ross recently did just a short hardcover Fantastic Four story. And I feel like it is gorgeous And these covers are so good.
I love his Mr. Fantastic. I love it looks so good. I love Alex Ross's Mr. Fantastic because it looks like straight out of like a 1950s sci-fi pulp novel hero.
Right. And I think that's the other thing that I think if we were talking pulp, that's what this book does so well. It's very pulpy, man. It's very much like, here's our thing. Let's solve it. We're in, we're out. Did you look at all of the extra covers that came with it?
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about the Frank Miller cover?
Yeah.
And how much I hate it, but also love it.
Yeah. I have the same thing. I go, do I like this or hate this? And that's the thing to think about Frank Miller art all every time.
It's the same pose he does for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of it being fat, big, old Batman, it's the thing.
At this point, he knows it and he's parodying himself, right? Like he knows okay, good. That's why. That's what I was thinking as well.
He might as well have just drawn him with a giant, the Human Torch with a giant lightning bolt behind him and been like, look, it's the tornado that he's going to go fight, right? Some of the covers are really good. Phil Noto does a really good cover of... Some of them are bad. What about the cat cover? Chrissy Zulo's cat cover. That's why I'm telling you, Ryan North could find a way for them to turn into dogs and have them say slobbering time. Have Johnny Storm make a joke about that would be the way it would happen.
Well, in this cover, there should have been it's slobbering time somewhere around there. Peter Moko is always hit or miss for me, but this is a great, I like that thing cover a lot.
That's a good one. Well, I mean, the Alex Ross covers are just, he's just so good.
John Cassidy stuff, never been a big fan of. Him. Like that.
No,
I don't know. Why. I shouldn't mention the stuff I don't like on here. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Yeah, it is what it is. But Alex Ross is just too damn good, man. He's just too good. His work is so good. It doesn't always work in serials very well, in serialized images. But man, can he do
it. This book is really fun, and it did two things. It made me excited for the Fantastic Four movie, which we talked about last week. Two, it gave me expectations. Because now I know what the Fantastic Four can be.
Yes, And if it doesn't do something fun like this, but also nerdy... You're kind of like, oh, you missed the boat, guys.
It's got to be science, man. This is now what I know about Fantastic Four. Give me the science part of it. Now, are they in a movie, like a general pop movie, are they going to be able to go this science project of the week?
They could pick one big science thing, right? Yeah. And they could get as quippy as they can with explaining, you know, they could be as quick as they can to explain the science of it with a cool, calm Reed Richards going like, no, here's what it is. We have this, and this is what we got to do, and that's because of this. And if this happens, then we do that.
But right? I also love the Reed Richards in this. Like, just like I've said it before, there's that sense of being like, he's just, the rest of the team has to learn.
Sciencing.
And at one point, the Thing and his wife are like, because you speak so calmly and matter of fact, we didn't realize that that decision you made to transfer all our children away for a year and everyone else's children and lives was heartbreaking to you. Didn't realize it because
that was a really good
thing. You don't show your emotions. You don't show your emotions, Reed. And so it's not like trying to change him. It's coming to a greater understanding of who their friend is and being patient with the way his mind works. It's capable of great brilliance. It's also capable of extreme coldness. And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, come on, Pascal. What's his number?
Yeah.
I want to send him a copy of this volume and be like, here's your read.
I got to imagine that, you know, this has been out since 2022.
Oh, he's right.
When this started coming out. I'm sure this is something that they're looking at as they sort of construct what this Fantastic Four run looks like.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to lean into the possibility of the X-Men, and then maybe they're looking at, you know, sort of, was it Fraction who wrote the one with Franklin being an X-Men? I think that might have been Fraction. Not Fraction. The guy who did who was just doing X-Men.
Did all the Utopia,
the Krakoa guy. I can't remember his name. Now it's going to drive me nuts.
I'm
not going to Google. It's fine. Someone's yelling at the podcast right now. But, Travis, Do you want to dip a toe into more Fantastic Four? Are you interested in like a little while going like, you know what, I might pick one up just for something to read at night?
Are you? I mean, here's what we're gonna do. I was thinking about it today. I was like, oh, I gotta start coming up with my picks for my summer rereads.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think with the way summer is the lunar calendar, yeah. I'm looking at it and the way we put out episodes, I think we should make it because it's right around the corner, Josh. I mean, it's almost already the end of March. So we're coming into summer quickly. And I was thinking like, you pick two books, I pick two books, and then we come up with a book together.
I like that.
Could be a good contender for a together. I'm thinking just by our vibes.
I think you're right. I'm definitely interested in checking this out further. All right, folks, thank you for tuning in. You can find the podcast on all your favorite podcast apps. Like it, rate it, review it, all that good stuff. If you're interested, you can check out the website, comicexposure.com. We've got links to a merch store. So if you want to get yourself a fancy Comic Exposure t-shirt, whatever you do, it's fine. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have more books on the way, more discussions on the way as we plan out our summer of fun. All right, Travis. We'll see everybody next trade.